Welcome to Mrugashira, a podcast that communicates with communicators. It's brought to you in association with DigiTales. I'm Radha Krishnan. Let's begin. Our guest today is Vanita Kohli Khandekar, media specialist who has been tracking the media and entertainment industry for more than 20 years. She's also a columnist with Business Standard. Let's begin. Hi, Vanita. Welcome to Mrugashira. It's great to have you amidst us today.
Thanks, Patan.
How do you see, the last couple of years from OTT perspective? And according to you, what are some of the typical success, factors or formula?
Just to put it in perspective, media and entertainment is a 1.6 trillion industry. OTT is a small part of this. Just to put things in perspective, because this whole hoo-ha around OTT, everybody's fascinated by it. OTT is roughly about 15,000 crore in size. 9,000 crore comes from advertising, and maybe 3,000-4,000, maybe a little more from subscription. The journey is exactly what television has seen. Of course, there's a difference in the format. The journey of television was exactly what newspapers saw, and the journey of newspapers was exactly what radio saw. There's a difference in the format every time. So, radio offered an audio medium, but newspapers offered a depth and a width which was different. You could open the paper and scan any number of things. And television offered a depth and a width which is completely different from the newspaper. Cinema offers a different sort of perspective or a spectacle which most of the media can't in terms of size and scale. Similarly, the internet offers a completely different experience, and the depth and width again has gone up several notches, because you can transact, you can talk, you can chat, you can share. So, all the stuff we do while watching a show or a movie, that has added to the richness of the experience, and therefore the format is different. But essentially, and so this is not to diss the fact that it has grown or that the form, but essentially the journey in every media remains the same. And since I look at it across media, the similarities hit me, and so do the differences. So Netflix came, Amazon came, Disney Hotstar of course came much earlier as Hotstar in 2015, and even before that you had YouTube. YouTube is the largest OTT, then there's MX Player, and then the others come in queue. So this is the time when everybody is coming and putting their flags and marking their territories. I think we are another 7, maybe 10 years from the time when, this industry will see some maturity. And that will come when it hits some scale. So when it becomes a 30,000-40,000 crore industry, when it hits some sort of 30,000-50,000 kind of scale, is when you'll see some, players coming together. But right now, everybody's investing in content. Everybody wants to be seen as the guy getting the maximum amount of traffic or the best subscription revenues. And everybody's adding languages, adding territories, making changes to the product. That's roughly the same journey that TV went through in the 90s.
Absolutely. That's an interesting observation you made, which is that there's a typical journey between different platforms from radio to TV. And also that meant that, what started off as one language medium became, multi-medium, in the sense that the same player started in multiple languages. Do you see more and more proliferation of vernacular OTTs, and those vernacular OTTs taking over, what is typically called as an English, player?
I don't know why we have this, whether it's analysts or whether it's film folk or TV folk, we have this big thing in our head that vernacular languages, regional languages are not given their due. We see the journey of newspapers. Some of the biggest newspapers in India were in Bengal, Anand Bazar Patrika, were in Malayalam, Malayalam Manorama, were in Hindi. So the whole journey of newspapers started with all languages. The whole journey of television started with all languages. I'm sorry, Sun TV was among the earliest broadcasters in this country in 1993. In 91, your Star TV came, 92, Zee TV came, 93, Sun TV came. So, this whole thing that people come and add languages, no. The languages themselves have been pioneers in their own markets. Inado TV, it started in mid-90s.
Yeah.
Inado TV got acquired by Colors. MarTV got acquired by Star. ZTV from the early 90s has had Marathi, Bangla. It has done extremely well in languages. It's only now that they've added Tamil, Telugu to their portfolio. But that much of that depends on how strong we, because Sun was so strong in the south, people were afraid to attempt their four South Indian languages. But Bangla, Marathi, etc. was available. Similarly, Punjabi, Gujarati was available, but nobody added those languages because those were easily duplicated with Hindi. And there was no advertising chasing Gujarati language television or Punjabi language television. Now there is. Please notice that Amazon offers language films across the board. And this is right from the beginning. I mean, first 2 years is always about understanding the market. So it's not that they're focused on Hindi or focused on English. Hindi is spoken by more people. It's spoken by roughly 10 times more people than any other language in this country. So obviously it's the biggest market. But nobody gets shot, except for, sometimes I feel Netflix was a little late or Star was a little late in touching non-Hindi languages. But, you know, all the languages have started and they've all flowered this market. That's my point. And look at the number of only language, Telugu language OTT, Hoichoi, Bengali language OTT. Marathi, mein there are some three OTTs in Marathi language. There's a Haryanvi OTT. There's an Assamese OTT. I mean, just see it. And these guys will get acquired eventually. They'll become up. So, like I said, Radha, the same trajectory that TV saw, newspapers saw, you will see in OTT. So, languages will get added. But what happens? You do one thing, then you do another thing. So, sometimes companies don't have the money to invest all in one go. But nobody can operate a media company in India and think they can do it in one language. That would be foolish.
Would that mean that, television would somewhere sort of lose its prominence and become like the way print is today?
What's wrong with print today?
People are paring down the number of pages, circulation is dropping.
People are reading them online. Again, I'm sorry, I keep going back to history to answer questions on the future. When the radio came, live musicians went on strike. Okay? When the recording thing came, radio guys got very hassled. So when TV came, the film and the newspaper guys got hassled. And there were strikes and stuff. Like, my point is, tell me one medium which has died out of all of these. My point is, every medium coexists with the other. The rate of growth and their share of the audience pie may differ. OTT cannot obliterate all other media. It will not. Everything coexists, so OTT might have a larger share. But the same newspaper companies are migrating to OTT. The same broadcasting companies are... Which are the largest OTT? Disney Hotstar belongs to a broadcaster. So the same companies are migrating their businesses and they're taking business and they're adopting new technology. I'm not in favor of old technology, but I'm saying that we need to get some perspective. We get totally carried away with this whole thing, OTT, because we are watching so much OTT. And trust me, a lot of small towns and villages are also watching OTT. But at the same time, free-to-air television is going through the roof. Look at TV Free Dish. They are at 50, 60 million homes. That's roughly, if you take a factor of four, about 250 million people on a free television. Free OTT, MX Player, 160 million uniques. So the fact, and MX Player, by the way, plays some linear channels also. So it is a very osmotic growth. It is, you think any of these large news OTTs, for example, will have survived without content from newspapers? So linear is subsidizing the growth of digital globally. And linear will also move there. So newspapers might become very small. The print portion might become very small, but the essential act of news gathering and reporting on news stories comes now in different forms. So we are doing a podcast, there could be a short video, there could be a long form documentary, there could be a docu-series. That's news, right? Newspaper, the paper goes out of the news, but the news remains. So the paper might become lesser. That's my point.
We are talking about media organizations transforming themselves to newer medium. But what is also happening is the younger generation need not necessarily be looking at these organizations. There is a strong, let's say, influencer community or subject matter experts who are probably individuals who are driving. That is also increasingly the younger generation seems to be moving towards that. how prominent this is likely to be in the coming years?
They are cognizant. I mean, see the investments going into the internet from mainstream organizations. They are all cognizant. What is Times Internet? Times Internet is an arm of the Times. Bhaskar, Jagran, Malayalam Manorama. I mean, I interact with the digital arms of all these companies. They are very focused on those businesses. And when you say that the young people go on to some other format, who knows, that format is probably owned by the same media organization. When the IPL rights are up for auction, there is one particular element which is composite right, which is everything together. That's what Star won the last time, right? Yes. That's why it had IPL on Hotstar and on Star Sports. Correct? So, everybody is cognizant of it. Now, how slow, how fast you are to react to it, and how well you react to it, completely matter of how much capital you have, what brain power you have, what resources you throw at the problem. Newspapers are a little late about throwing resources at the problem. Television channels and film studios have been very fast at throwing resources to the problem. That's why they're sort of on top of the OTT game. They're not behind. Yeah. Globally, look at television companies and film studios, they're not behind on the OTT game. But I think the pandemic taught them a lesson. Pandemic gave them that shake. See, you must realize, Radha, that when 90% of your profits are coming from a format, your ability to focus or push resources on something else is also, you know, you are wondering, why the hell should I throw so much money and stuff? You remember that most internet brands still don't make money.
Yes.
Okay? Yes. So, the fact is, why should I throw good resources after bad? So now I think the pandemic has brought us to a point in history where it makes sense. And I think everybody has decided that. You know, and many of the language newspapers are now refusing to talk to me about their digital strategy because now they've become very serious. They are experimenting with several things. Several things are running in beta versions. So you don't know what's going to come out of this churn. But remember, we have very strong newspapers. We have newspapers with a lot of cash. So I would not write them off. And nor, by the way, TV is about 70-80,000 crore, like I said. Very profitable means about 13-15% margin. Happy industry, and there's a lot of juice left in that business. So I won't write it off. See, this is not to take away from the growth of OTT. OTT is there, people are turning to it, and the formats in which they are consuming is very interesting.
One of the things that happens when anybody and everybody thinks that you know, they can create content and put it out there is in terms of the factual content, accuracy of the content rather,
correct.
The ethicality of that content. So how is that dynamics changing? Because is hate and fake news in a way becoming an extension of yellow journalism as we used to know it?
You know, sometimes I wonder if the hate was inside us and it's just been unleashed by technology, or whether technology has created that hate, you know. But the yellow journalism, the scale at which the amplification happens, the amplification possible is something can destroy people's lives and careers. But at the same time, it gives you a tool to bring justice. So my point to you is that it's not the same as yellow journalism. Yellow journalism was a one-off thing. This is at another scale and level, rather.
You made a statement which said Indian films have brought so much credibility to India and its growth. I just wanted you to elaborate on that particular point.
I've said this in like dozens of columns. I've said it in dozens of pieces. I say it again, and I put my professional reputation on the line here. Please watch Indian films.
Yeah.
Anybody making these comments about Indian films has not watched them.
Yeah.
I've watched Tamil, Telugu, Malayalam, Bangla, Hindi, all films. Please watch Indian cinema. Why do you think they have an India Week at Cannes going on right now?
Yeah.
We make good films. If you're going to judge all of 1,600 films on the basis of one film, then I'm sorry, your mind is warped. You go abroad, people ask you about Amitabh Bachchan, Shah Rukh Khan, maybe they are the face. And it's very good. I'm very happy. How many other countries can boast of having a cinema which has a face for unknown people across the world? China would give an arm and leg to have a cinema like that, or to have soft power like this. And here in our country, we keep dissing our own cinema. We keep pulling it down. We keep running hashtags.
you know, saying that this is bad. I mean, cinema is a creative interpretation of the real world, or it may be fantasy. Just go and enjoy it. Don't judge it from 700-year-old prisms of history or your own social conditioning or some woke mentality that you have. Just see it. Even kyunki zaat bhi kabhi bahuti. You make them slowly. You push the envelope halke halke, dheere dheere. You know that there's a study which says that cable television has empowered rural women in India. Why is London talking about putting up a statue for Raj and Simran from Dilwale Dulhaniya Le Jayenge? Why does Japan celebrate Rajnikanth more than we do? You know, we have to ask ourselves. We have national treasures here and we keep pulling them down. Other countries will make money from them and will take away. We should be creating a whole more industry around our soft power, adding to our GDP and leveraging it globally. That's what the UK did, by the way. It brings in 40% software stuff, content exported across the world comes from the UK because they decided the creative industries are a focus point for government policy. But remember, for more than 100 years, Indian cinema has had very little state support, no state support. It has had no subsidy, no quota system. You know that China has this quota of 34 or 37 films which can be imported. France has a film. We have nothing. Any film which passes a census certificate can come in and screen in India. Yet 90% of what is sold and watched in India is Indian films.
Yeah.
We are 1.4 billion people. We still prefer our own cinema. This is something about us, no? And it is not a protected cinema.
Yeah.
Given a choice, we prefer our own cinema. So what does that tell you about the strength of our storytelling?
Absolutely. So, thanks a lot, Vanita. It was actually great talking to you.
Thanks, Radha. Thank you so much for calling. Thanks. That was fun.
Hope you enjoy listening to Mrugashira, a podcast for communication folks. Do share your suggestions and feedback on mrugashira@digitales.co.in. Have a great week ahead and do not forget to tune in next week. Adios.